The Guardian.
Attention, Earthlings. This is Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I am Paul McInnes, and on the forthcoming transmission, we will be establishing communication with cosmic scouters the Zootons to talk about their new album and that intergalactic anthem, Valerie. We'll be lying in the gutter but contemplating the stars as we review new music from Ida Maria, Hot Chip and Meishi. We'll bring you the best of the blog and the Facebook and introduce you to the otherworldly talents of the young Mikachu. But first, to the Zootons. That was Always Right Behind You, the new single from the Zootons, and also the motto of Guardian / Music's Rosie Swash. Isn't that right, Rosie?
Yeah.
Far from last Friday at ATP, when you went off with all your cool mates and left me to hang at a chalet with a stranger who was so drunk he couldn't count to two.
To be fair, I was so drunk I couldn't count to two, so... You know.
You might not have been the best of company anyway. It's all right, I won't hold it against you forever. But let's talk about the Zootons, because they're our guests this week. And they've got their third album coming up, which is kind of, you know, more than a lot of their peers, I imagine, from 2004, 2005 have been able to muster.
Well, yeah, I was quite surprised. I do think of the Zootons as a popular band, a sort of V Festival kind of popular band. But when I looked into it, their first album was platinum. Their second was double platinum, which I was surprised. I thought, oh, they're that big. So when I spoke to Abby and Sean from the band, who are a couple in real life, I might point out, helps you for the interview, I inevitably asked them if they thought that this album was going to do the triple platinum.
Yeah. Is that what you're aiming for?
Nice. Yeah, I suppose it'd be nice. But I think the first two done about as well as each other, I think, in the end. So I'd hopefully, if this one even gets close to that, it'll be good now, because it's all changed. I don't know, not as many albums are getting sold now, so
is
maybe
that something that you're thinking of, were you, that's sort of on your mind for the new one?
Not really. You still make the album, still people still hear it, but the record industry seems to be going a bit like freaking out a bit, because not that many records are getting sold as they was.
This one's been produced by George Draculius, and so it was in LA, and he's quite a sort of Americana LA producer. Is that the kind of thing we can expect sound-wise from the new album?
Not from the songs. Like, yeah, the songs were all written in Liverpool, except one.
But I think because we were over there, we did get influenced by things. It's not going to make you play your guitar different or something, just looking at it, but it does. Do you know, you won't think it does just driving down a different street, but I don't know, it makes you feel different, or if you're excited about being somewhere, it'll give you a different sort of confidence. I don't think we ever really sound that British, if you like.
Do you think part of it is because there seems to be always, oh, how do we categorise the Zootons? And you yourself came up with a zombie soul.
Oh, yeah.
is that sort of a bit outdated now?
I just think it's one of them. It was just one throwaway comment, really, and I think
it sounded good
or something, so it got took up on, but I still think it sounds quite good, but it's not something that when you start getting asked it, you feel a bit stupid. Say, like, if I don't know, Dr. John is like voodoo swamp music.
Yeah,
it's hardly,
I know.
When he's singing, like, I don't know, Such a Night, or so, it's not as it's like that. So, I bet that does his head in, but he's still like, yeah, it's always hard to describe yourself. So, there's a bit of rock, a bit of soul. Yeah, there's some good little stories on this album.
Well, care to embellish on that?
Have you heard the single?
Yeah, the first one.
It's
not so much of an apparent story, that one. There's more of a story behind that one, I think.
Freaking is, like, blatantly, obviously, a story.
Freak is, like, a
what
story.
What Little Aside is very story-like, which is about a man who has like two lives kind of thing and two wives. He pretends that he's an oil rigger. So one of his wife, or both of them think, you know, he's on the rigs, but really he's with the other woman.
And then there's a gigolo
a male
one
gigolo.
Where, yeah, it's a male prostitute one where he's he has to make his choice and that's what he goes and does. A lot of the songs get kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit like a concept. They all kind of do connect a little bit in that way, where it's a person who's having to make choices.
Having a difficult choice,
and having, I think
the problem's so. The same, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I think like, that's what it's, the main theme of the album is like someone having to make a difficult choice.
Is that the inspiration for the title of the album, which is You Can Do Anything? So no. You've got all the choices, but which one?
Yeah, well, that's good. Let's go with that.
You hit the nail, yeah. Bang on the head.
Nice one.
That's what it is.
But where does that theme?
It's a song that we recorded, but never actually made it onto the album.
Why not?
It's dead good, but it just never. We never just got it right.
So it was, and
we thought we had it kind of covered. Yeah, we'll just save it. I think we might start doing it live or something like that.
You said before that Abby, when you joined the band, it was partly because the guys wanted someone who played an instrument that you didn't hear in bands that often, which in your case is the sax, and they wanted to set you wanted to sound different. What did you want to sound different from? Bearing in mind, I guess this is 2001, 2002.
Just being a four-piece guitar band from Liverpool, you're just asking for to be compared to all the other four-piece guitar bands to go before you. Echo and the Bunny Men, or I don't think they were a four-piece guitar band, but you know, the Lars, whoever else. I think like Space stuck out a bit from that, like when they come out from Liverpool, and you don't really think of them, and Clinic are from Liverpool, but you don't think of them as being kind of, you know, typical guitar bands. And there was the Coral coming out, and they were just like that, but they had keyboard, but it was like, we wanted something else, but we didn't know. And then Dave had a certain like melody that he wanted, and he said, oh, saxophone would probably be good. And I said, oh, well, Abby's got a saxophone, I don't know. You know, I think she might be able to. And then so Abby come down, and that was kind of the start of it.
And that was 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
How different is it now? What's the biggest difference between being in the band now and starting out?
She's the boss.
You were a five-piece, and now you're a four-piece, because Boyan left you.
We've got another guitarist.
Oh, you've got a guitarist to replace Boyan. I thought that you hadn't replaced him.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, we have. It's kind of, yeah.
What's his name?
It's Paul.
Paul Molloy.
What do you think that he's brought, just sort of fresh blood?
It's just different.
Yeah, he's got a totally different style, hasn't he?
He's more of a lead guitarist or something like that. He's
because Boyan did leave on good terms then.
Yeah, well, it's never that good, but it's one of them. Which
if you see him, we're friends, we talk and stuff.
You're not going to be like, all right, buddy, you know, like the day after or whatever. It's going to feel
awkward.
A bit, you know, I think he's just trying to find what to do, now, kind of thing.
Since I've come on home, well, my body's been a mess, and I missed your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
One of the biggest songs of last year was Amy Winehouse's version of your song Valerie. Was it weird for it to go so big with someone else doing it and quite a different interpretation of it, or did you just feel very proud?
I liked it and
I went to an FV festival last year. I was at the side of the stage, and like I said to the girl Tawia, it was like, oh, that was weird for me hearing that, you know what I mean? But it was good, kind of thing. Yeah, it's quite exciting because it gets a good reaction, and it's different.
Did it change things for you? Did it bring you a lot of attention from people that you weren't getting attention from before?
People who knew that it was our song, it like reminded them that we were still around because we were writing for so long.
I think maybe like some radio stations and things like that, it proved that it was a good song, like, yeah, and it just kept us maybe in their heads a little bit.
Do you feel super confident about the album and just looking forward to getting it out there?
Yeah, I just can't wait for it to come out and see how people take it and see what zombie soul thing they come up with or something.
That was Abby and Sean from the Zootons, and their album You Can Do Anything is out on June 2nd.
Thank you, Rosie. It's also worth pointing out that to support their new music child, the band are playing a tour of UK forests throughout June, as you do. I like to think of Singles Club as my own music child, in that it talks a lot of nonsense and sometimes deserves to be locked in a room with no supper. At other times, however, it lights up my life. And so it is with great pleasure I'd like to welcome Casper Llewellyn-Smith, editor of Observer Music Monthly, to help us review some of this week's new tunes. Hello, Casper.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, pretty good.
I imagine this might be quite intimidating for you to come into such a high-pressure environment as a podcast.
It's quite scary. It's quite a scary environment, and I'm quite awed by you both having gone to ATP as well, which I think is beyond the call of duty, really.
Well, yeah, obviously we did so much work while we were there. What do you think of ATP? Because this is the first time I'd ever been to one of those events.
The only one I've ever been to was the one in Minehead, Butlin's Minehead in December, which Portishead were curating. Which is a hellish experience. Oh, it's absolute torture.
Yes, I imagine the Minehead, even the Minehead Tourist Board wouldn't try and sell the resort
the Minehead
in December.
Massive, yeah. No, it's a sort of strange place. They built the car park around the outside of the chalets. So from your chalet, there's a view of the car park, and then beyond that, the beach, which is not the best planning in the first place.
And beyond that, the beach.
It's quite hardcore as well. I mean, the music, fairly full on.
But what I found was it was incredibly friendly, as I obviously, you know, encountered myself at 10:30 on the Friday night with a man who could only count to two. But just
moving on from this.
But people are very friendly. They welcome you in even if you've never met them.
You
before.
Get the impression with ATP fans that people who probably don't get out very much, so it's nice for them when they do, and hooking up, coming out their bedrooms.
Could well be. All right, let's move on and review some music. We start with Hot Chip and One Pure Thought. That is One Pure Thought by Hot Chip. One Pure Thought is the third single from Hot Chip's third album, Made in the Dark. The band described Made in the Dark as not so homemade as their previous recordings, thanks to this one actually being well-funded, recording in a studio, as opposed to Joe Goddard's bedroom. Critics have warmed to One Pure Thought over the album's slower tracks, thanks to it apparently being in the same vein as classic Hot Chip hit Over and Over. Rosie, is that an opinion with which you would concur?
Well, it's definitely more in keeping with that than the slow ones. I think, this one has been this kind of slow burn hit of the albums when we were at ATP, where Hot Chip played. A lot of people said they're really looking forward to hearing this one. And it's definitely my favourite off an album that I've grown to love.
Well, why is it that this one stands out?
One of the things that I really like about it is that I used to skip it a lot at first because the opening chords, the guitar chords are really horrible. I really don't like it. And then this kind of brilliant harmony comes in, the Casio beat. It feels like everything's coming together.
It's also got that reggaeton rhythm thing going on as well, which...
Yeah, so it instantly makes you want to dance when you've just gone, oh, what's this?
Casper, Rosie mentions the opening guitar chords here, and it seems like that in this album, Hot Chip have moved away from the dance floor a little bit and moved more towards electronica and also the idea of being a proper functioning band. Is that a sensible direction for them to have taken, you think?
Is it sensible? I don't know. I mean, pop music shouldn't be about being sensible.
No, never.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's true of the record. It's still got that kind of, you're never quite sure of where you are with Hot Chip, and it brings all lots of different influences to bear. And the clip we heard of the song, I mean, it's not totally representative of it, because halfway through the song, it suddenly goes off in a completely different direction for a short while before coming back again, which... It's something I always like about them, that it's packed full of ideas.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think I've been a fan of Hot Chip for a while, but I don't like this third album, and I think I fall on the side now of feeling that there's too much going on. There's always been an element to them where there's a wonky workout at some point in the song that bears no relation to the rest of the tune, but I don't find there's particularly watching them live, they go from one thing to another to another to another, and you're never quite sure where you are, and that puts me off. But you, it appeals to you, that draws you in, Casper.
I quite like it. I'm someone with quite a short attention span, so in the course of a song, I mean, it's a little bit long for a pop single, this. That for me is a problem. It's almost 5 minutes, should be 3 minutes, and pack it all in. But then, for me, I kind of get the Hot Chip experience in the course of that one record, and I don't have to listen to the rest of the album. I quite like that about it.
Why do they do that? Why do you think they do that, Rosie?
Scat
from one thing. Scat, that's probably the wrong word. Skit from one thing to another.
Because they can, because they're showing off. I think, and also, you know, it is pop music, but they probably want to convey a sense that they can do as much with it as they are capable of doing, and that there isn't any limits to it.
Is it a song about taking drugs? That's what I wanted to ask you.
Rosie's the one who spent time considering the lyrics.
Well, I think the first verse sounds like a dream sequence to me because it's so weird. But now that you've said that...
Could be a narcotic sequence.
I don't know. I always think they're the kind of band that probably don't do drugs.
Anybody... I'm not going to go any further with that thought. I'm going to keep my thoughts pure. Let us move on, because One Pure Thought by Hot Chip is out now, and the second track on our singles club this week is Lamb and Lion by Meishi. That's Meishi with Lamb and Lion. Meishi are a six-strong experimental pop collective from LA who formed 6 years ago. Ooh, symmetry. The band is said to have scored their first record deal over Instant Messenger, which is very now. And they all hang out at an LA club called The Smell with their mates No Age and Silver Daggers. We've never been, but we suspect the club does indeed smell. Casper.
Well, Meishi. I always liked McFly, and it's a bit like that, I thought. You know, it's I worry they're probably a little bit old to be doing what they're doing. It's the kind of record you want to put out when you're sort of 12 or 13 years old, I would have thought. No, but I like it.
It sounded to me a bit like a cross between Animal Collective and Green Day, or your McFly busted elements, but particularly the vocal sound, which always makes me think of tailgate parties at the back of an American high school where the jocks are wrestling with the nerds and blah de blah. Does this speak to the youth of today, do you think, Rosie? This
I kind don't
of
know.
Music?
Why?
Yeah, you are our youth correspondent. I know you're 45, but you are our youth correspondent.
I always say this is my catchphrase, but this is not like all the rest of their stuff, and it's certainly not like their older albums. And at the beginning, it's less so towards the end of this track, but at the beginning it is a bit more droney, there's a bit more sort of feedback in there. And bands like No Age and Silver Dagger, those kind of noise bands, are quite popular at the moment.
What's a noise band?
Noise is lots of drone and reverb and literally noise. But what those bands are good at doing, and I think that Meishi are probably caught on to, is making it a bit more poppy so that it is actually appealing to the ear.
It does have a certain anthemic quality to it. It also falls apart after one verse and one chorus and then just goes off into an instrumental decline. Is that...
That's so noise.
Anything else to add on that one, Casper? Is this the noise trend something that was going to grow and build until we can't escape
well,
it?
Well, I'm interested to hear Rosie say that about the earlier records, which I don't know, because you hear that and I'm not sure what six of them are going to be doing. I mean, that's the sound of three people making a record, yeah. Not six of them. So, you know, maybe the others are painting a nice mural in the background or something. Well,
that would be it. That would be going with Heart's Revolution and their ice cream van. You've got to have the whole 360-degree offering nowadays if you're going to succeed, kids. Lamb and Lion by Meishi. It's out now. Final track on Singles Club is Queen of the World by Ida Maria.
Stay, please.
That's Ida Maria with Queen of the World. Ida Maria is not the Queen of the World, although it does sound like she wishes she were. Ida Maria is the 23-year-old Scandinavian singer who describes her music as pop rock, which will help shelf stackers at HMV no end. Be wary of her live gigs. She finished one particularly energetic concert covered in blood and claims to run around and bite people and knock things over. I'm not sure I believe that, Rosie Swash.
Well, she might well do that, but it doesn't mean that the song's any bloody good, you know, or that or maybe she does that because her songs are so crap.
But the first couple of lyrics are like, I need some whiskey to rid myself of my innocence. Is this anything more than kind of soft oral porn for indie boys?
I think the nice thing about it is that it shows that Skiffle's reached darkest Norway, which I wasn't quite sure how far it had got yet, but it's kind of... I mean, it's curiously retro to the point of, expecting George Formby to pop up guesting, which would have made it a better record, really.
Yeah, exactly. Put a counterpoint on the vocals there. Made me think of the House Martins as well, actually. I wonder if it's about time for a House Martins revival. Rosie, the reason we're talking about her is because we feel her name keeps on popping up. She's getting a lot of coverage. She's an attractive woman. Is it anything beyond the looks that's getting her?
Well, not for me. I mean, you just mentioned the lyrics, which I think are pretty two-dimensional, one-dimensional even. I think she is very attractive. It seems to help when people are Scandinavian. It seems to help their musical credibility.
But put her up against Leaky Lee or up against Robin, and there's so much. What we've actually become accustomed to with Scandinavian acts is a degree of unconventionality.
Yeah, and something a bit quirky or just, I don't know, a bit more charm to it somehow. I think that's right. She's, I have read in the Sunday Times that she's about to take pop music by storm, though, so it shows you what we know.
Well, indeed, indeedy doody. Okay, we'll draw a line under Ida Maria because we don't like it, but Queen of the World is out now. And if you want to register a contrary opinion, your love for Ida Maria, you can, of course, do so on our blog at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. Last week's comments on the blog concentrated mainly on a tune that was in the montage, which was Will I Am, featuring Cheryl Cole. And amongst others, there was a post from Andy Fell, and he offered a considered breakdown of quite what it takes to be that hairy one from Out of the Black Eyed Peas. 1. Find an incredibly popular song with a distinctive chord pattern and steal it. In this case, Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. 2. Choose a word that has something to do with relationships and repeat it 32 times, hence forming the chorus. 3. Buy Heat magazine. Choose the pop star with the optimum combination of good looks and personal problems and get them to feature in your single. And you're done. Thanks for that, Andy. There's also a word from Chaz and Dave, who, as well as stating that he loves the show, thanks, Chaz, and Dave as well, says that white denim is going to be big this summer, so a band called White Denim are sure to succeed. Not sure that necessarily follows. Was there ever a band called Kappa Shellsuit who was big in 2001?
Yes.
Oh, there was. Well, there you go. Proof if proof were needed. This week we want your thoughts on Hot Chip, the Meishi and Ave Maria. Post them up at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music or ping us a message on Facebook. And by the way, I did call it Ave Maria on purpose. You can also include these numbers for consideration too. The Cure, The Only One. Usher, Love in This Club. With more news from nowhere. Nick Cave, More News from Now. And it's getting stranger here. Yeah, it's getting stranger every year. You gotta understand, we only do this thing because all we are bad kids. Black Lips, Bad Kids. That's your montage right there, with one special silly voice, as requested by EJD on the blog. If you want more silly voices, ask for them. I'll even take requests. If you want less, obviously you can post your feelings on the blog too. Now, it's common for bands to add effects to their music. Pedals, synths, even them newfangled computer things. But when was the last time you saw a singer modulate their vocals with the aid of a vacuum cleaner? Or change the pitch of their guitar by shoving a piece of paper up the fretboard? Well, that's what a new act called Mikachu, aka Mika Levi, does right there. Stop to think he might have found the love. Okay, that's Mikachu, aka Mika Levi, with Lone Ranger. And after having caught her live, we decided it was worth having a little chat with her. Did we not, Rosie?
I heard her stuff on MySpace, and a lot of it is, some of it's a bit sort of obviously influenced by garage. Other is very poppy, like what you heard. But all of it has these weird sounds in it that you just think, what is that? And I was quite keen to talk to her, especially after hearing that she had composed music for the London Philharmonic Orchestra, which I was a bit freaked out by. I thought, what? That's, you know, it's a bit off brief. So I started by asking her to explain that.
I started a couple of years ago. I had like a classical training, so I like to play an instrument and read music, so that's a massive help. But it's just about sort of organising your ideas and in quite an aesthetic way, like you write it out on by hand or whatever, and it's quite like, I don't know, it's very hard to explain it because it shouldn't really be set apart from any other music writing at all. But I mean, there's the traditional qualities involved, you know. I guess you have to understand how a lot of the instruments in the orchestra work and get to know them, and you can choose to write out traditional notation, which, like, all the players can read. But, I mean, you could write a graphic score, or you could write a list of instructions asking them to play one long note really loudly for 10 seconds of their choice. And that, you know, that still counts as composing, you know.
You mentioned a bit there, you were talking about the classical instruments.
Yeah.
But your thing is to use things that are not even instruments. Like, you on stage, you use hoovers. And those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of messing around, being silly. I mean, the original reason we used a hoover is because I wrote the track with a hoover in it, because I sort of wanted the record to start off like that, with a hoover. You know, like when you put on a CD and hoover up, you always put on a CD to do it, and that's just that idea, it's just silly. But, I mean, I'm interested in a composer called Harry Parch, who creates his own instruments, like, from scratch and his own tonality system, and it's very sort of fresh and original, and all his music's very honest, because that was the only way he could create his music, by totally beginning everything from scratch. It's pretty mind-blowing.
So have you done that yourself? You sort of functioned these weird...
Well, yeah, I've adapted a guitar, and I'm just making a few instruments. I've made one out of a CD rack with like a wheel that plays like several strings, and sort of, I mean, I'm just very interested in it, and this just, it seems like quite an obvious thing to do, like in terms of music moving forward or in different ways, and especially since so much music from around the world is available to us, you sort of think, like, it makes sense to make your own instruments. Like, that's just sort of seems quite obvious.
Is it the sort of organic process of it you like, or is it the weird noises that you can come up with, are you?
I think the process of it is quite satisfying and, like, totally self-made, and, like, your logic will fall into it, like, the logic of how you build it and how your hands work around it. It's sort of personal qualities to it like that. And also, yeah, you can get different timbres and sound worlds out of it, which is, you know, interesting.
Because I remember interviewing someone who said that they knew they always liked experimenting with sounds, because they would sit in the bath as a kid and kind of run their hand on the bath and get that...
Yeah, sound.
They're like, that's, for them, where music comes from, is where you can get these weird sounds. And it's kind of like what you're saying, it's not just a guitar, listening to other guitar music. Were you one of those kids that used to...
Yeah, everyone took the piss out of me at school, because I got a moon display for my birthday, and I used to go around recording, like... I'd just, like, be ready to record, and everyone, like, people would, like, drop something on the floor and take the piss out of me and be like, oh, did you get that? Like, just yeah. I've always just been interested in it, and I just, it's good to refresh your mind and keep it really, like, basic, and then pick your ideas up, as opposed to starting with a back catalogue of pre-decided ideas.
How old are you now?
I'm 21.
Pre the sort of mini-disc carrying days, but you were saying you were classically trained.
Yeah.
What did you play?
I played violin and viola.
And how old were you when you started playing those?
I'm 4.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've done your grade 8?
No.
No.
I did my grade 2.
Were they instruments that you wanted to, that you picked to play? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, my parents are musicians and music's just like been all my parents know and it's all I know.
What was the stuff that you were listening to in the, let's call it the mini disc?
The mini disc days. I listen to like a lot of Nirvana. I think they're amazing. I listen to like some stuff that I'm not really into anymore at all, like Godspeed You Black Emperor. And I was into like kind of Warp Records, Ortec, and I really like Profuse 73, Captain Beefheart, Blur, and quite a lot of garage as well.
For someone that comes to your live show and they're looking at the stage and they're wondering what all the different props and instruments and things that are going on are, what do you have with you when you perform live? Does it change every time? Do you think, I'm going to take this?
No, we keep it as simple as possible, and also like we try not to take taxis when we can because it's expensive. So at the moment we just take what we got. Like everything's quite small. And we want to keep it simple and add things later. Like, if you have to play your songs all the time, you get so sick of them. So we want to, like, add things in. We don't want to rinse it too quickly because it's just going to, I mean, it's going to drive you insane. It gets very boring.
That was Mikachu, and you can find her at myspace.com, MICAYO Music. And she's playing loads of UK dates, including Glastonbury.
Well, it's definitely worth checking out. I really enjoyed her live show. Now, Casper, thank you very much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure.
Especially right now, because it's a busy week. You've got your new magazine coming out on Sunday,
it's
have
an
you not?
Exciting magazine coming out on Sunday. I rushed the newsstand, the news agents besieged them on Sunday.
It's that laconic attitude that makes your publication stand out from the rest. Now, there's a lot of festival-based material in this week's issue, is it?
It's our exciting festival special, kind of summer of sound stuff. Basically, a lot of things came together with the flavour of the summer to them. So there's a very good chat with Duffy, Coachella, Sarah Bowden from our team was out there to see her, and then various other top people talking about the months ahead, him out of Metallica, Tamani Djibarty, a nice cross-section of people.
Which I like, and that's what I like about your magazine, you know, there's no areas off-limits, but I wonder, if we're looking at this summer's festivals, whether you get the impression that there's actually going to be much mingling between genres going on. I sometimes look at the listings and think, well, people are booking specifically according to genre here.
Well, we did actually, with this issue, we've crunched loads of numbers. Someone sat in a room for 3 or 4 weeks looking at all the figures for the festivals and who was playing where and looking at how much duplication and replication there was of top-level acts. And I think that's really noticeable this summer that so many of the lineups seem broadly similar. Mm-hmm. And if you don't catch someone in one place, you're sure to see them 3 weeks later at the next. I think that's kind of a little bit dispiriting.
But it means that people like Tamani Djibarty, you're not really going to see at too many festivals. They're going to be at the WOMADs or the Green Mans of this world.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the interesting one, again, is Glastonbury, which I know everyone's banged on about endlessly now. But I think it's great that on the Saturday night, it's not only Jay-Z's headlining. Before him on the main stage, there's a surprise special guest. But before that, it's Manu Chao playing, who, you know, is as surprising as an inclusion as I think Jay is for that bill. But I think that's really great and positive. I mean, I think that's, you know, what you want to get in a festival is something a bit more unexpected and, mm-hmm. and it not just being this endless procession of spotty young lads, as you say, wielding their axes.
Rosie, you got any other smaller events, do you think, that might work? Because, I mean, we went to say ATP, and while there was a lot of stuff you wouldn't have heard of, it still fell within that guitars, drums, beards combination.
I'm looking forward to Bestival because I think it gets it exactly right. It's not small, it's not too small. They were the first people to get Amy Winehouse this year. I think last time I went they had the Stranglers playing. You know, they really do have quite a genuinely weird selection of people playing. But I was interviewing someone recently and they said what they like about it is that it's the kind of place where you can take your grandmother during the day but you wouldn't take her at night. So it was is a way of saying that it's, you know, it's all wholesome fun during the day but not at night. And so it's kind of
am I right, Bestival's got Amy Winehouse again and also My Bloody Valentine,
yeah,
who there's a superb feature on in the Music Month on Sunday, but slightly worrying programming, I would have thought, with two acts who you can't be entirely sure that either of them is going to get around to turning up. And you might be left with Rosie's granny playing on stage.
Well, certainly if I go with Rosie, I will be left with Rosie's granny.
Neither and of the you man will, who can count she's to two. Actually dead, both of them are dead.
I'll just get the coat to the stage.
All right, thank you very much for that, Casper. Good luck
Thanks
with your interview
much.
With Rio Ferdinand as well.
That's an extraordinarily exciting piece. It's coming up, not in my magazine, unsurprisingly, but in the Observer Sport Monthly, I think, if I get around to finishing it.
Did he murk you?
He didn't murk me. He was charm personified. We had a nice chat about music, actually, and the tastes of music in different footballing dressing rooms. So that was enlightening at the same time.
Thanks again, Casper, for coming in. Hope to see you soon. On to matters bloggage. And there was something of a heated debate over the merits of last week's guest, Jamie Liddell. Chewtoy was first up to post, writing, "If Jamie Roquai," as in Jamiroquai, sorry, that, me explaining that bit there, "if Jamie Roquai Liddell doesn't want to be compared to Jamiroquai, then why does his music increasingly sound so much like him? I used to like Jamie's earlier work. The mixture of soul and harsh electronics was so unique. Now his music is merely derivative. It's so sad he had to sell out." Left to Right wrote, "Blimey, Jamie Liddell sounded like a moody git, didn't he? The comparison with Jamiroquai isn't really valid, in my opinion. A better comparison is with Duffy, someone who is so derivative in style that you just think tribute act when you hear them." But Kwipu assumed a protective stance and defended the man like Liddell. "The Jamiroquai comparison is a stretch at best, since, as far as I'm aware, Jamiroquai never made an album in the style of Motown. If you can find similarities between the two artists musically and go beyond, they're both white and they both sing as if they're black, then I'd like to hear it. Also, I'd like to send out some props to SV80, Natch, who answered our 'Who is Offie going out with?' query of last week. Apparently, it's DJ Feds, or maybe Feeds, who is much older than Offie and makes EJD think of Woody Allen. And by that, I presume he's not talking about the charming humour of Hannah and her sisters. Anyway, over on Facebook, and a small but noteworthy milestone has been passed. Andrea Adcock became our 500th pal the other day, so a convertible Mercedes is in the post to her by way of congratulations. Other new pals include Christina Bell Nicholson, Richard Hannay, Darren Sweekong Lee, Pat Walsh, Colin Seymour Jr., Nikesh Shulker, and Charlotte Davies. Post comments on this week's blog. Remember, our guests this week have been the Zootons and Mikachu. We chatted with Casper about festivals and also Rio Ferdinand. And remember, we reviewed tracks on Singles Club as well. The address, as if you had forgotten, is blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. On next week's programme, we'll be bringing you this lot. That's, ladies and gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space by Spiritualized, and we'll be talking to Jason Pierce next week. We're back on Friday. Register now to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/music or at that big old iTunes house. That's all for this week. Thanks to Rosie Swash. Thanks to me as well. But we'll see you next Friday. Bye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.